The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Welcome to Up on Taconic, a reoccurring podcast that explores the world of Taconic High School from students, staff, school programs, and all the great things that happen here each day. All right, and welcome to Up on Taconic. I am Mr. Chiquette, and I am joined today with Cody O'Neill, one of our amazing multimedia students and a contributor to our weekly news show called The Thunder Report. Additionally, he's our resident movie expert and often makes some great segments that review some of his favorite movies on our show. So thanks, Cody, for joining us. Great to have you here.
Thank you very much.
So we thought today we might talk kind of all things movies with our local guru, Cody, and chat a little bit about why, kind of what drew both of us to become movie buffs, because I think we both consider ourselves to be big fans of movies, correct?
Yes, correct.
And just talk a little bit about how it came about, some of our favorite flicks, all of that stuff. So, first, Cody, tell us a little bit about yourself, just in terms of, who you are, grade, the program that you're doing, all of that.
Yep. Well, hello, I'm Cody, and I am an 11th grader. The CTE class I'm in is video production, and I really like drawing and stuff and movies, and that's all.
Yeah, we should mention too that he's our graphic artist for our show as well. So each week, part of his job is not just making all these great videos that he makes for us, but also making sure whenever you see something that's kind of on the screen, right, graphic wise, you're designing all those graphics using programs like Illustrator and things like that. Correct.
So correct.
Excellent. So, and that could be another show in itself, right? Just talking about all the graphics that we do. So let's start here. Why don't you start by kind of sharing what first got you interested in movies? When did your fascination with film begin?
So when I was young, it was around like 2014 and 15. Mm-hmm. My dad had found a VCR tape and stuff from it was mainly a VCR player. And he had like tapes and he showed me how to use it and stuff. And he hooked it up with this square box TV and stuff.
Like,
and
you mean like an old school TV, right? With a big tube in the back and all that. Yeah, cool.
And when he first turned it on, I thought it was cool and stuff. And when I turned the VCR on, I remembered the first time seeing that blue screen.
Yeah.
It is amazing. And when I first put in the tape, I didn't really know how to put it in.
Yeah.
So I was confused. I was like, how am I supposed to put this in?
Yeah. It's very mechanical, right? Yeah. As opposed to what we do now.
Yeah.
So that's really unique because you have an experience that not a lot of people your age really have, which is that you started with old school technology. Yeah. The VHS tape probably came out in the late 1970s, early 80s. So for people like myself of my age, that was kind of the norm. We were in my teens, right through college. DVDs didn't even come into play until like the 90s. So we were used to thunking that big, tape in there and having the tape every now and then get all messed up and you have to take the tape out and fix it and all that. But you were doing that even in like the 20 teens, right?
Yeah.
That's really cool to think that you had that experience with that old analog technology, right?
Yeah.
And so you've got this machine, you've got this old TV.
Yes.
You're sitting in this room, and are there videotapes sitting around with it? Did it come with all these videotapes as well?
Yeah, it did.
Do you remember some of what those movies were?
I remember there was The Lion King, there was Pocahontas, there was all those classic films.
Like Disney movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so those were some of the first ones you probably watched as a kid, right? Watching those.
Yeah. But some people might know, Barney and Friends, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sadly. Yeah.
Yeah. We all know that. I used to own those. I used to watch them all the time.
So there were kids things that you had on VHS as well, in addition to Disney movies.
Yeah.
And you would have been pretty young by then, right? I mean, we're probably talking that you would have only been like, what, 8 or 9 or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. And then that evolves. You start watching movies from that age using old technology. Eventually you probably get into other types of things like DVDs and Blu-rays is that correct?
Yes. So I also didn't realize what DVDs were too. they were another format that they could just play movies and stuff.
Yep.
And my dad had the DVD player and stuff, or mainly we had like the PS3 and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was also another console that we had, but mainly we used to watch movies on there. And to this day, I still own DVDs. I got a bunch at my house.
Do you?
Yeah. Yes. And not a lot of Blu-rays. I got a couple of them.
Okay.
But it's the most coolest format.
Yeah.
And we all know 4K disc, which is also good, but I don't really have a 4K Blu-ray player, which is a problem.
Yeah. So, yeah. So we get DVDs, which are kind of that original 720 or whatever they are. Blu-rays go to 1080, and then you're even talking about 4K.
Yes.
And it's just really amazing to me that you are so associated with physical media,
right?
That we're not just talking about going online and streaming something, but you really, you had this stuff in your hand. You had media in your hand, and that probably did. That probably had an effect on your life when it comes to how you took in media, right? Was that you had you? It was maybe in the beginning. It was in your house. Did you ever rent DVDs in your life, or
basically,
did your family ever do that, like Redbox type stuff, or?
Not really with Redbox. We had Goodwill. There was Walmart. There was all those and Target.
Oh, you would go buy them and actually own them.
Yeah.
I see.
I remember I had one copy of Back to the Future, the complete collection.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The modern.
Love that series.
Like, the Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
And when I put in this part two disc, it was cracked.
Yeah.
So I didn't tell my parents about that.
Well, but that's what happens, right? With this media is that eventually it's going to even, so VHS eventually can wear down because you're taking the tape and it's losing quality every time you play it by a little bit.
Yeah.
DVDs don't necessarily lose the quality, but the plastic can get scratched. It can break all the things that can happen.
Mainly the movie or TV show would skip,
exactly.
Which is not my favorite thing in the whole entire world. It really gets to me.
Yeah. And then, of course, from there, we go to downloadable media where you can go and download a movie or download a song or whatever it is, and then we finally get to streaming. So you've been through all of those phases. The only phase you probably missed was like the film strip phase where you were literally playing like old-fashioned films like on a reel-to-reel. So, but I missed that phase too. So we're almost in the same camp in that regard. So
we never had that at all.
No. I don't think most people did. So you're watching a lot of movies from this age. You're eventually kind of like developing your tastes and your styles of what you like.
Yeah,
so
correct.
One of the things I wondered about you was just how were you drawn to the styles of movies that you like? You're into many genres.
Yes.
And so what are some of your favorites and what kind of started that?
Mainly when I was living with my aunt, mainly I got into horror movies, or when I was younger, I was at my uncle's house and he had like a bunch of DVDs and stuff.
Yep.
And there was like some horror stuff. And I think my very first horror movie DVD was probably Halloween 4. Okay. And there was a poster that had Michael Myers and it scared the crap out of me.
As it did. Yeah. Most people probably were,
yeah,
were pretty scared by it.
Yeah. Cause I realized the Halloween 4 mask was not the Halloween 4 mask.
Yeah.
It was the John Carpenter's Halloween mask of Michael Myers.
Yeah.
So I was like, that doesn't seem right, but it still scared me. It was mainly the picture, the poster was the original Halloween Michael Myers mask.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, I believe so, a person walking outside out of their house. Mm-hmm. And it was like dark. And I remember that picture. And I still have that movie on DVD. Well, I don't have the one that my uncle had because he told me the disc was broken and stuff.
Yeah.
So mainly he threw it away.
Yeah.
And I lost the case and the cover and everything at the old apartment, which that's where it got me started, was the old apartment in Lincoln Street.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you said, so, you know, kind of seeing this and it kind of scared you, but there must've been something that drew you to that at the same time, right? You must have liked that, that effect it had on you. Is that right?
Yeah, and also like when I was younger, I used to watch the horror movies on my phone, so my parents would not know about it.
Oh, okay. Because
I wasn't old enough. I was still young.
Yeah, yeah. So
yeah.
So you love horror movies. What are other things that you like? What other genres?
Comedy. Yeah. I really love comedy films.
What got you into that? Was there one film that kind of started that was like, oh god, that's so funny, and then you could just keep finding more movies like that?
Mainly, I used to watch like. There were so many good ones out there.
Mm-hmm.
You probably heard of Three Ninjas. It's basically like an action comedy, like martial arts movie.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it.
Yep. Yeah. It's like a classic. It's like Ninja Turtles.
Mm-hmm.
And on the cover, it said it crosses Home Alone and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which that is one of my favorite movies of all times, the original movie.
The original Teenage Mutant. Even Ninja yes. Turtles? Okay.
Yeah, and the cartoon show was definitely my favorite.
Nice.
I used to watch it all the time.
Now, I don't know if I told you this before. I probably have. But my mother went to high school with one of the creators of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Did you know that? Did I tell you that?
I don't think you did.
So, yeah. So, she went, I'm trying to think of what class she would have been, probably like class of 72 or something like that. But Peter Laird is one of the, I think, the two main creators.
Yeah.
And graduated in her class, like literally like graduated with her. And
it's pretty cool.
Apparently he was incredibly quiet. Like, so, I mean, I don't know if he stood out at the time, except that I think there was some story that someone said, you need to, Peter, you need to put your pencil down, stop drawing those stupid turtles and go to work. Right. Yeah. And the good thing he didn't. Right.
Yeah.
And then ultimately my understanding was that he didn't love his high school experience back up in North Adams. So he hasn't been, you know, like, jumping up and down to sort of like come back home and again or kind of come back to Drury or anything. But but I always thought that was pretty cool. And when those characters were developed, I wrote, my mother used to always talk and, you know, about it. Not that she knew him well, but she certainly, I guess, remembered him enough.
Yeah.
So those things kind of cross that. There's some boundary lines, right, between comedy and other things, right?
Yeah.
Comedy and whatever it might be, martial arts or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Were there other kind of pure comedies or anything that you can, like a Dumb and Dumber or something like that you can think of that you liked?
Yeah, Dumb and Dumber is like the most funniest movies ever.
Yeah.
Another one, there's so many of those other comedy films that I liked. There was Ace Ventura. I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. I've watched those. Those are funny. Very funny.
They are.
Have you ever watched any one of my favorite classic comedy movies is Monty Python movies. So The Holy Grail and Life of Brian and The Meaning of Life and things like that. Have you ever seen any of those before?
I think I've seen one of the movies.
Yeah.
Those. But the one that you just said, it was one of those two.
Yeah. But a lot of people have seen The Holy Grail. And the quest for The Holy Grail is all about King Arthur and his quest for the chalice that held, you know, like what Jesus used in the Last Supper. But religious context aside, it was hilarious because they even decided not to use horses, right? They just used coconuts and they banged the coconuts together to make kind of the hoof noises and stuff. And I remember as a kid watching that and combining it with my love for like Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good show.
Yeah, great show and stuff. And a lot of those spin-off movies like Wayne's World and things.
Yes. Wayne's World, that's my favorite movie.
That was my development of comedy, was those kind of late 80s, early 90s things that were coming up about because of that. And then going back to the 70s, which would be too young for me technically, but then going back and finding Monty Python as well. So I think comedy for me really, really kind of stood out as well.
Yeah.
So very cool. Well, we're talking today with Cody. We're talking about our love for movies and some of the movie reviews that Cody has been doing. We've got a few more questions coming up, but we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Okay, and we are back at Up on Taconic. We're talking to Cody about our mutual love for film and some movies, and talked back in the last segment a little bit about what kind of developed our appreciation for watching movies and also the genres that we ended up loving over time and stuff. So let's talk a little bit about some of the movies that you reviewed this year on Taconic TV. Tell me a couple of those movies and why did you choose to review them, and what do you look for when you're picking a movie to review?
The movie that I reviewed for their Thunder Report was basically VHS. Mm-hmm. It's mainly like a found footage horror anthology series, mm-hmm. basically. So I did the first movie and it worked perfectly good, but that was actually not my first one that I did. It was actually Dawn of the Dead, basically. Okay. George A. Romero's Dawn of the Dead, mm-hmm. and Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead remake.
Yeah, yeah, I remember you did both of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yep. Yeah, we had to separate them because it was too long for the show.
Yeah, right,
so
multiple parts.
Yeah, like it was basically part one of part two, and then part two, part two.
Yeah.
Which is pretty interestingly good.
Yeah. What made you choose those two movie series to review? What made those stick out enough for you to say, these are the ones I want to do on TV?
Well, I watched them during like December.
So there are recent movies that you had seen when you were reviewing them. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I basically saw those in December or I think it was January of, I think this year, basically. And when I watched Dawn of the Dead, the original, mm-hmm. I loved it. The whole mall and everything was great.
Yeah.
But in the mall in the remake was not the best, but I loved the beginning scene in Dawn of the Dead. It is chaotic, but great.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, it's funny too, because a lot of the things that I love are all based on this idea of looking back to the past and being nostalgic for those types of things. And one of those is definitely shopping malls.
Yeah.
And I was talking about this recently with someone just talking about Stranger Things. I don't know if you watch that show, but
I heard about it. I'd never seen any clips of it.
But it's meant to be set back in the 1980s when shopping malls were huge. And that's, you know, we don't do them as much as we do now. Some of them still exist, but not the way they did. And you would go to the mall on a Saturday with your friends and spend the whole day there.
Yeah.
And then when you found movies that were based there, it really kind of nostalgically like felt
like
sentimental about looking back to them, right?
Yeah, like in the theaters and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And that was it. Like even the Berkshire Mall was, I remember it opening maybe when I was in middle school, was when it was built and opened and stuff. And now, of course, it's long gone and now it's just Target and, you know, and whatever else is happening over there, housing or something that they're doing. But to see a movie or to see a TV show these days that has some element of things from your past that you remember or you think in some ways wish were a part of your life. Maybe for you, you didn't get to go to a lot of shopping malls because a lot of them were closing by the time you were coming of age.
Yeah.
But the idea of them are very cool that you go there. You go to the food court, you get a burger, and you go out and go to a Spencer Gifts, or you go to some other, some Halloween shop or something like that and hang out with your friends for the day was kind of a cool experience. And we don't get to do that as much, but to see it in a movie.
Yeah.
And in your case, you were able to kind of see those two, the original and the remake.
Yeah.
Kind of centered in the mall, is that right?
Yeah. Well, I didn't go to the mall. It was during last year for those movies. But my very first movie that I saw in the theaters was not the greatest movie from 2014, was Michael Bay's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I was so bored. I told my dad, can we go?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, and he was like, I paid money for this. We're not leaving. Yeah. You're going to see this movie. And I was like, it looks so boring. I prefer the original one from the 90s.
Yeah. Well, that's tough too, right? Because you go, that's a big part about movie theaters is that we go when we don't go as often as we used to.
Yeah.
And when you go, you have to have almost a reason to leave the house because for a lot of us, you can go, TVs have gotten so big
that
based on how close you sit to them, they're almost the size of what a big screen would be in a bigger room and stuff.
Yeah.
And like, the sound can be just as good at home and all that, right?
Yeah. It's like way better, like the format, like comparing to that good old classic TV, the small square box TV
that
you guys probably had.
Yeah.
Comparing to 4K, like big, awesome TVs like this for up on Taconic and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And even in the video production classroom, it is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's the thing is our eyeballs are kind of adjusted now to high resolution, screens. So even going to a movie theater these days may not always yield as good of a look as you can get on these screens at home. Yeah. So when you go to the movie theater, it's expensive. I mean, that's the other thing too, right? A thing of popcorn can be $20, right?
Yeah, and that's crazy.
$8 for a soda and, $10 more for some candy. And before you know it, like, it's like the price of like a cheap car or something just to go to the movies for the night.
Yeah.
And then you end up what if you don't like it? Then it's a lot of wasted money, where these days you can maybe rent at home and stuff. So to go to the movies, for anyone who still goes, is still a pretty cool experience.
Yeah.
But you have to know in some way that it's worth the money. It's worth the movie that you hopefully will like, and what happens when you don't, right? And then dad says, I just paid
Yeah, because basically that's the thing about when the movie came out from a long, long time ago, and if I really loved it, I thought to myself and I say like, oh, I really love this movie so much. I wish I would have been like in that year when it came out and then just walked in that theater, watched the whole movie. That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
But I wasn't even alive then.
Yeah.
I was born in like 2007. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, a lot of life, as you get older, a lot of life is based on knowing things that you were able to experience firsthand versus things you wish you were able to experience firsthand. That idea that nostalgia, you know, you sort of have this, boy, I wish I could have been around. Like, I remember, I get to say to like, I saw the original Tron back in an old theater back in my hometown when I was a kid. Or I went to see, E.T.
E.T. I heard that's a classic. I haven't seen it, though.
But it's a whole different thing when you're old enough to know that it was a brand new movie in the theaters, and that's the only way you could see it for many months, you know? So that makes you feel really old. But at the same time, it's kind of a cool experience to kind of say, hey, I went to this old-fashioned movie theater, and I saw a lot of these old movies as they came out. And my parents would talk about that too and say they would go see one of these movies that were, that are a classic to me that I never could have seen in the movies because I wasn't born yet or something, but they actually went to the movie theater to see. So that's part of it too, is that going out and having an experience in the theater is kind of a big deal, right? And we want it to still feel like a big deal, but it's expensive and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
What if the movie's not very good, right?
Yeah, and also like the age rating for movies, because there's like different age ratings. Like some people know there's like rated G movies that's for all ages.
Yeah.
PG is for like if you're like a little bit older.
Yeah.
PG-13 is like you're full on, you gotta be 13.
Yeah.
Rated R is definitely you got to be 18 or older to see it, basically, which is interestingly like good for stuff like that. But I really wanted to watch an R-rated movie when I was younger.
Yeah.
But we all know the answer now.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing. I mean, part of it is sort of to protect the innocence and stuff to you. So as you get older, you kind of get what you need to be able to kind of like take in that level. Sometimes it's violence or whatever it is, you know, adult themes and all that. So they do it, I suppose, for that reason. But no matter which age you are, you always want to see the next level like up, right?
Yeah, like the language and the nudity and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Not for little kids.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Not in front of the kids.
So let's kind of cut to the chase here. We've got a little more time left, and we just want to talk about, you know, we're talking about how we got there, the things that we love, all of the movies that we tend to, you know, what brings us to a movie theater, what makes us want to review a movie if you're in the position that you're in to do it on TV and such. But if you had to name your all-time favorite movie, what would it be and why?
My favorite would definitely be The Lion King 1994.
Ah, the original classic. Lion King, yeah.
Definitely.
Why that one? Was it one of the first ones you saw? Is that why? Or
well, when I first watched it, I had heart for the film, and I almost cried to the movie. I first watched that film, I remember it was. I think it was who was the? I think it was Mufasa, right?
The father.
The father. Yeah. When I saw that, I was like, oh no,
And
then that made me sad,
because
if that happened to my family, if it was my father, I'd be very sad.
Right.
And I guess in like Scar kind of like betrayed him and stuff, but they're brothers and stuff. And I was just like, I was not a fan of Scar. He was just,
I don't know if anybody was. Yeah.
Yeah. He was just something there.
Yeah. And I think that's when you think about, kids growing up, that moment when a father dies and then a kid is, you know, a part, you know, is feeling that.
Yeah.
That's probably one of the first times that a lot of kids on some level experience death in a story, you know, and in a story that's really a cheer, you know, makes you want to cry when it happens, right?
Yeah, because I got some other different movies besides The Lion King that made me sad.
Yeah.
Is it okay if I can like talk about some of them?
Yeah, give us one or two before we finish up. Sure.
Where the Wild Things Are. I think it was the creatures from the movie when Max left, that made me sad. I was at my aunt's house and I was actually crying.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was sitting in the chair, I was crying. I was like, that movie made me sad.
Yeah.
And the last one that I would like to give out is basically, we all know this one, Marley and Me. When Marley dies, it was so sad.
Yeah.
Definitely that one broke my heart because I personally love animals.
Yeah, me too.
And I love dogs and everything.
Yeah. I actually, to say, if you've heard me talk about my puppies and stuff, like, I'm such an animal lover that I'm not very good. I've never seen Marley and Me, and I've never seen a lot of those movies because I know what's coming, and I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't think I want that story in my life. So I avoid it.
I'm sorry if I spoiled that. That was
no, it's fine because I don't know if I would watch it because, like I say, a lot for me sometimes like there's a good cry. You know, a lot of people say like movies bring out like some natural tears and stuff, and it's a good like cry and stuff.
The sad scenes, is what people call them.
Yeah, but I oddly deal with like human death and things like that a lot better than I deal with like animal death because I feel way more empathy than I should for animals sometimes. And I don't know if it's any more than people, but it definitely is on a certain level. But
yeah, because like normally with movies that I see, we all know that beginnings would be happy. Some of them would be like the middle would be sad, but then it would be happy again.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, usually it comes back around in these movies so that 3/4 of the way through you get the really sad moment, but then it'll build it up to kind of be a positive at the end. But still, sometimes I just don't want that sad moment in my life, you know, but
yeah.
So, I mean, that's really interesting. When I was sort of like thinking about asking you about what your favorite movie was, I actually didn't think it would be The Lion King, so I'm really kind of pleasantly surprised that's what you said. For me, Disney movies are a big deal, and I'm for me, one of my favorite movies of all time is Lady and the Tramp.
Hmm.
Lady and the Tramp, if you've never seen it, was a 1955 Disney animated movie, and it is about basically a family that brings up kind of a, you know, in a posh environment, like kind of a upper middle class environment in the early part of the 1900s, this really cute little puppy named Lady. And then she develops a friendship with Tramp, who's like a homeless dog who's just kind of living on the streets and getting scraps and stuff. Yeah. And he keeps coming into this nicer neighborhood. So there's almost like this like class clash in some ways, and there's really some sad moments in there too when they're all at the dog pound and things. So but there is something about, I get past that moment because the rest of it is kind of good for me in terms of like the positive parts of that as a puppy movie and stuff. But
because like that's a thing, I don't know if there is a live action movie of that. If there would be, it'd probably be very sad to watch, definitely,
of Lady and the Tramp.
Yeah,
there is, and I've watched it actually, and it's okay. Like they do a good job of it and stuff. Yeah. So it doesn't make it super sad, but, but I still, the original one for me, the 1955 one, it was a big deal. And I remember watching that for the first time. And I think there's a lot of movies. I don't watch a lot of movies more than once.
Yeah.
That's one of the things, is that I'm not a big fan of like kind of getting to the spoilers in a movie and then watching them again. I don't watch many things, TV shows, movies, more than once. But there are certain things when they come on that I will, like Lady and the Tramp is definitely one of them. And then there's a couple others that I watch every now and then. American in Paris with Gene Kelly, like a couple classic movies, West Side Story. Those are ones that every now and then I used to have on DVD and I'd take out every so often and I would watch. But Lady and the Tramp is one of those that I don't mind watching a bunch of times and stuff. And a lot of Disney movies are that way.
It's like definitely one of your favorites in it, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. There's something about it. So,
yeah.
So cool. It's funny. We kind of end on a very similar note of in our conversation here, talking about how our favorite movies just coincidentally happen to be two Disney movies about animals. So that's very cool. So really, thank you, Cody, so much. Good conversation about movies as we're wrapping up our year with Up on Taconic and in this season before we go off on our summer break, and we might have one or two more shows. Maybe one more show and Up on Taconic we're hoping to bring you before we take our final break before we go off into the summer and come back in the fall again producing some more. But thank you for being a part of this. This is if you don't know, Taconic has sort of two different weeks, like a week on and a week off. So this will be Cody's last week in the shop with us, except for a couple extra days at the end of the year. And then we'll have the other week, and hopefully they'll make one more show as well that we can look forward to.
Yeah.
So cool. Thanks so much for taking the time, Cody.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. And we want to thank our listeners and for tuning in on WTBR. Again, as always, if you have any questions for us, feel free to email us at taconictv@pittsfield.net. And again, as we get closer to the end of our season, we really want to thank you for joining us, and we hope you will join us next time for Up on Taconic.
See you.
Up on Taconic has been a production of Taconic TV and podcast produced in the Taconic Studios in Pittsfield, Mass., and this week featured Cody in a conversation about movies. The show was produced using state-of-the-art Rode podcasting equipment and taped in June of 2025.